will call our meeting to order at 18:31.
Everyone is here. Mark is online. Steve, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, new business, discussion of the new fee schedule. New fee studies.
Okay, so you sent Buck away with the idea that he would do some research related to per square footage, cents per square footage. And that was like unleashing a hurricane. He went deep into AI and case law and study, and the first crack he had was he talked to Dameron Valley, and Dameron Valley, instead of charging taxes, they actually collect a service fee, which from every individual property. And that sounded promising, to rather than us having to go through another taxation, we just simply stop that and we start addressing every property. Well, that turns out that's illegal. So what did you say? If it looks like a tax, it's a tax. He continued to do more investigation. He involved our attorney. He's basically come to the idea that this here is an interlocal agreement. This provides the legal basis behind what we've been trying to do for 2 years. Is we have asked them for money. They've said no every time. That's what this is all about. So you want to talk? Go ahead.
Sure.
He knows more.
So, as Chief stated, this is kind of the culmination of all of the events that we as a team have gone through for the last 3 years. We went to the county and said we need money, we deserve money. They said no. We went to legislation, Congress. We need money. We'd love to help. Oh, never mind. We're not going to help. Go back to the county. We went back to the county. They said no. Well, okay, well, what happens if we try PILT? What happens if we try TRT? All those things you have to go to the county to get. We came to you guys and said, hey, we're going to go to the county and we're going to ask for TRT monies. You said, yep, go get them. We went and said, hey, we want our TRT money, and they said, or their PILT money, and they said no. So everything that we've done was to try to help the county show us how they can pay us. And their response was a little bit surprising in that they said, well, we're giving you $20,000, isn't that enough? And so this provides the evidence that they have asked for, and how we got there was we went to try to find the service agreement for the warehouses, and well, that's illegal. Well, let's try a plain service agreement. We can't do that. What about the landowners? And through this debate, the realization that we're providing services to the county themselves without being compensated for them. For example, all the phone calls that we get because the dump's on fire, they don't pay us for any of that. They're receiving revenue for the dump, but they don't pass any of that on to us. They're receiving revenue for Settlement Canyon. We go on calls to Settlement Canyon. They're receiving revenue for it, and they're not paying us any. And as we kind of go through this a little bit more, the airport, the railroad, industrial site, Settlement Canyon, Grantsville, Power Landfill, all of these are direct costs to us that they're receiving a benefit for, and they're paying nothing for them. they're a customer of ours in this particular instance. They're a customer of ours and providing us with no compensation for it. So what I've done is I've gone through and a lot of it's legal jargon. A lot of it just kind of is evidence, and some of the language in there that I want to highlight is that the inland port that's coming to us. Because we went to the inland port to figure out how we could get the inland port to help pay for a station out there, well, none of us knew it, but the county has likely already negotiated a reduced contract of 75-25. The inland port is going to keep 75% of the tax revenue. The whole of Tooele County is going to divvy up 25% of that normal tax rate, and that will go to, the 25% will go to schools, roads, fire, us. So we're operating already behind the eight ball. So they're negotiating for us, and again, we're still not receiving compensation for it.
How many years did they give them a tax break, or are they proposing?
Forever.
I think it's forever.
Just like Salt Lake City. We just went in and took it, usurped it.
Has our attorney looked at this?
Yes.
Awesome.
I met with her today. She has a copy of it. This document that you have in front of you is likely to change based on her recommendation and more evidence that we can come up with. Her statement was to let the board know, help me, Cassandra, let the board know that I approve going forward with this. Was that about?
Yeah, she said I approve the approach. I approve of your approach, and she will review it and give us comment on it.
We're not reinventing the wheel. This is very similar to what UFA does for their contracted cities.
So, to argue to that point, you know, we're stating the Utah annotated code of how we're supposed to have an agreement with Tooele County to provide those services, number one, that they're responsible for legally, and number two, that they are utilizing. And so we've gone through and we broke it down. Kim provided Exhibit B. Exhibit A is the breakdown of costs, and you can see that we're providing Tooele County with operations alone, we're providing Tooele County with $471,000 worth of services. That's operations alone. That is for I-80, the landfill, Bower Pit, Southern Canyon, the airport, and the inland port, support to, or mutual aid to Tooele County Fire, and so forth. The standby availability is around $1 million, and our administrative overhead is $47,000. So our total benefit that we're providing the county is $1.57 million. We're subsidizing currently the county $1.5 million. This is what we're providing to the county currently, and they're compensating us $20,000 above that. So instead of asking for these funds, we met with the council. In that council, Nathan Harris was present, and
the attorney,
their attorney. And the member of the council says, well, what do we do? And Nathan said, well, they need to bill us and we need to pay it. So that is directly in response to, and it's taken years to get here, but that is in direct response to that state. We're going...
Up until now, though, we had no legal basis to do that. So they have to sign this first. and then
so
the bill.
So to talk about that, to have them, yes, this is an interlocal agreement. They have to sign it. You have to sign it as the board to enter into this contract. The contract states that it's going to be a retainer. The retainer has some, for example, section four, I believe it is. Yeah, section four is a regional conditional feasibility study.
Did we flip the bill for?
It states that they're going to flip the bill for it. And we can negotiate that. However, the reason it's in there is because we're entering a contract, I don't want to close the door to any possibility of future assumption of the other areas of Tooele County that we're not currently supporting. For example, the Wendover Air Base, Terra, other areas that Tooele County is supporting. I don't want to close the door to that. I want to, not that we necessarily have to do anything with it, but we put that in there contractually so that we could, if they would like, they could do the feasibility study and determine whether it's going to be cost effective. In doing that, I says, well, what happens if Unified came in and offered to contract this to Tooele County? And the services that we're providing, if Unified were to do it, they would probably, likely, determine that contract at $6.12 million. Currently, the likely cost that Tooele County is paying is $4.7 million. And that's in this area of Section 4, where if we were to take assume those responsibilities, there would be multiple fire marshals, for example, and we can consolidate with those costs and stuff like that. We believe that we could do it for around $3 million. The cost to us would be around $2.7 million, and we believe, I'm sorry, going off of memory, it would be around $2.3 million, and if we charge Tooele County $3 million, that would be an additional $700,000 to our coffers if we decided to go
do this study and go down to
Section 4. That's kind of why it's left in there.
I emailed this to all of you. So
what it comes down to is that contract value on item 6. We're providing the $1.5 million. We're currently receiving nothing. In the document, it shows that we're going to ask for $500,000. This is open to your guys' recommendation and your discussion. The reason that we put in the $500,000 is because it was a palatable number. They're not going to have to raise taxes on their citizenry to pay for this number. They could probably. There's Title III incomes that they're probably not spending for $100,000. They can probably pull in this number without affecting other programs greatly. If we raise that number, if we go in and say we want the full $1.5 million, the likelihood of them being able to compensate for that is going to be a little bit more devastating, and they're going to have to make some changes.
Or they could simply say, we'll do it ourselves, and say, you know, we'll just handle we'll take the I-80 and all that. Even though we know they can't do it, you know, the likelihood of them bucking up against $1.5 million is pretty high.
So that comes to the discussion of what now? If we submit this agreement to them and they come back and they say no, what do we do with that response? We must be able to accept the fact that if we continue to go down the same road that we're going down, the likelihood of us being able to continue to provide those services and remain, solvent, is unlikely. So we need to honestly look into, if they say no, we need to look into de-annexation of the lands that is not supported by our taxpayers, or dissolution meaning life safety only. If there's a semi that crashes on I-80 and is burning, and everyone's out and watching it burn, is our response going to be, well, tell the sheriff to take out his fire extinguisher? Because that's the service that we should be providing, but we're not being paid for it. So that the county would have to provide that service. They're legally bound to provide those services. They're receiving income to provide those services. And if they're not doing it, they must do something.
Well, you talk code annotated, the sheriff is over all fire in the unincorporated areas in the county. Other than designated fire protection service districts. So when we started the district, we relieved the sheriff of 2,100 acres, or 21, you know, not 2,100 acres, but, you know, 2,100 square miles. We've had a good working relationship up until this last bunch. You know, we've harped on this 20,000 for years, Buck. We've had screaming matches in those meetings over this.
And this gives us the teeth necessary to say, and honestly, the response that we got in this meeting is, well, we're giving you $20,000. That's huge. $20,000. They don't realize that our cost is $1.5 million. They assume that the $20,000 is covering that cost.
Well, everyone else other than Wendover gets $10,000, so they're thinking they're doing us a huge favor.
Yeah, so exactly. This is a huge favor. Here's $20,000. This gives us the legal argument and the teeth necessary that Nathan, their attorney, Mr. Harris, told us to provide them.
Was this a recorded meeting?
It was not. It was an ad hoc meeting that was considered a work meeting. I was there, Chief was there, Kim was there, Chief Brown was there. The only thing we're out is if they say no. If they say yes, then great. If they say no, then we honestly must consider de-annexation or dissolution.
We don't get paid for the federal land. We're part of mutual aid with them.
So in the yes, this is true.
We don't get paid for state sovereign lands either. So it's only private lands we get paid for.
So and that's in this document. It talks about the difference between of why we deserve to receive money from the sovereign land, and it's kind of one of those things that kicked off this whole thing. Is I wanted to charge a subscription to all vacant land. We're out there fighting fire. We're providing wildland. We're providing protection for all this privately held land. Well, if it looks like a tax, it's considered a tax, and we don't have the right to tax it because it's not connected to our services. A road, water.
Yeah.
So we couldn't. So this is the only legal means that we have to do it. And the precedence has been set. This is the means that Unified contracts with their entities.
Taylorsville and all the entities.
Well, they've gone outside the county, too. They're also in Utah County, Eagle Mountain.
So this is the same contract, same type of contract that they use. Unified does not charge a tax to each individual household or property. They just charge the city or the entity, and then the city goes and charges those costs. Mm-hmm. Just like...
I think, Kim, you have a question?
Just the number I came up with was not response to public lands. It was response to I-80, and so that's what needs to be put in there. Is that it is, that doesn't include anything on any of the public lands. That is just I-80.
So usually when we're out there, we're on initial attack. So typically we, all the fire service districts, we eat the first operational period. So if we flatten a tire, bust a windshield, seize a pump, then in October we put in, you know, we've got a fund. Hopefully we all draw from it.
So that goes to the case of mutual aid, right? We provide mutual aid to Grantsville, Grantsville City. We provide mutual aid to Tooele City. However, we provide mutual aid to Tooele County without expectation of any return. How does Tooele County mutual aid to us when we have a house fire?
They don't have the capability to.
So it's a disproportionate mutual aid. It is not. It can't be considered mutual aid.
Did you address that in there?
And I did. It's in.
Before, what we did on a mutual aid with the county and wildland is the county. We'd host these large classes, 130, 190 classes. County would pick up our bill for it. We would go in as instructors. We would volunteer to be the instructors, like Steve and I always were the hosts of the classes. But any surplus material they had, always they gave it to us. Come time to divvy up for tires and stuff, we always was the first in line. So it used to be a 50-50 deal for us. We weren't really outlaying out any maintenance on this stuff. But, you know, we've had a couple changes since over the years, and, you know, things have changed, but...
We've lost all benefit. Yeah. We've lost all benefit. So this is in section 3, relationship to other agreements. Response to the contract and service area shall be considered contract services under this agreement and shall not be consented as free mutual aid. So that address, we're going to contract our services because they can't provide us mutual aid because it's a disproportionate mutual aid.
Our attorney is reviewing this section also and comparing it with the state mutual aid code.
Okay. And at some level, the UFA figured out how to make this palatable for all the individual entities. And so I think one of the next steps is to meet with UFA
to really
identify what's the language that we need to use to make it acceptable to the county to pay us the contract fee. So essentially, all the research is there. We wanted you to see it. We wanted you to kind of absorb that a little bit. What's the next step is, I think, you know, meeting with some of these successful entities that are doing this. And as long as you guys know what direction we're headed, if you're okay with that, that's what we wanted to hear.
Well, we tasked you with SICM.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And here's the results of it. And a good job.
Yep.
You good with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I add one thing really quick? So that $20,000 that we get from the county, if I'm not mistaken, that comes from the Seabrook Fund, right, which is on the federal side of things for...
Negative. That comes from all the hazardous waste. That comes from the price of
so that
the burning. So when EnviroCare and Grassy Mountain, and they were all going, they pulled a percentage per load, per ton. That's where that money comes from.
Okay.
But the county, so that's what when Harry was well, over.
That's how it started out.
Yeah.
It's now it's special operations.
So talking with county council member Eric Stromberg, he broke this down with me because Grantsville gets the same 20 grand, right, every year. We used to split it up where the district, the fire department would take 10 grand and they would put it towards whatever, and then we'd give our association a 10 grand, right? And he explained it to me that that is all Seaburg money that they get from the feds. And so the way that I understand it, that doesn't even come out of Tooele County budget.
Well, this has changed completely from what it started out as.
So, and that's understandable, right?
Right.
Tooele County receives vast amount more funds than just the Seaburg fund. And that all pools into the pool. And we can't go and ask, we have learned through painful trial and error, that we can't go to the county and say, look, you're receiving these funds that are earmarked for this. We would like some of those funds. The answer is no. And the reason the answer is no is because they can legally decide where those funds are going to be dispersed. We cannot legally decide where they're being dispersed. So they're giving this $20,000 out of one of their funds that they're receiving. It doesn't matter which one. They're paying us $20,000 of the $1.5 million that we're expending for on their behalf.
Correct.
And Grantsville probably has the same contract agreement that we do.
Correct. But $20,000 to a volunteer organization like Grantsville is huge. But they're running 300 calls a year. None of them are really off their
process. Well, that $20,000 went right into our budget. Went right to the main budget portion of the budget when we got it.
So really, to me, it seems like they really are. It's not costing the county anything, because they're getting kickbacks from the feds.
So when you say, does it cost them anything? That's they're going to have to reallocate those funds. Those funds are being spent. They've allocated the Seaburn fund to go to. I'm not exactly sure, and I won't state in a public meeting where I think that they're going. But those funds are being allocated other places. We don't have the right to say where we think that they should be allocated. I think that they all should be allocated to fire, but they're not, and they can choose where to send those funds. And that's why we kept getting told no, is because we kept asking for a particular fund. And that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to go and in the annotated code say we want to enter a local agreement because we're providing you this service and we're taking care of your legal responsibilities. We must be paid for our services. And that's what this document does. It shows that we're providing these services, how we're providing those services, the number of calls that we do. Kim's is a 5-year average. The data that I collected was for 2024, so the numbers are just a touch different, but within the averages, we can prove to them that their $20,000 is being spent merely on our response to Grants Hill Reservoir.
Yeah, 100%.
Buck, is there anything else that you wanted from the board?
If mull this over in your minds. We're going to continue to work on it. We need to get data back from from Unified. Like Chief said, we have already talked to the chief at Dameron Valley to see what they were doing. We're going to get data back from Unified. We're going to get data back from our lawyer, and then we'll present to you a final document. And
what does Ogden do with Weber County, or what does Weber County do with Ogden?
I don't know.
Wasatch District takes care of a lot of the county out there, and Ogden State within its city limits and then maybe line the Wasatch.
So unless it's mutual aid, Ogden doesn't cross borders in. They got enough. They've got enough of their own. And
yeah,
okay.
Got enough of their own. I believe Wasatch covers most of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like to also see with this is as you continue to lay this out. If they come back and say no, what is your ultimatum then?
We need what the plan looks like.
Yeah, so it is documented in here. Our ultimatum is what the board decides, whether it's going to be de-annexation or dissolution. If we de-annex, then we're saying this is our area. We don't know who covers that area. It's not ours anymore.
which really, in all reality, is a PR nightmare.
Right.
Well, either one of these is going to be a PR nightmare. Yeah. That's why we need to be
so
prepared.
We need to be...
Even with your magic pen, John, it's still so, people that know
so
the fire service.
We want them to agree to this.
Yeah.
It's very palatable, right? We're showing them that just in their expenses is that $500,000 that we're asking for. That's not counting all of the PILT and all of the standby services and all the. Just in the services that we're physically providing is that $500,000. It's very palatable. So I don't believe, especially with the recommendation of their lawyer,
right.
I don't believe they're going to say no.
Every month that I present data to IRTA City Council and Lake Point City Council, and for the past year, 18 months, I've been presenting them with how many calls on I-80 we run, and that their citizens are paying for us to do that, and they every time they're shocked about how much we're out there, and so that PR nightmare, that some of that groundwork is already laid.
Yeah,
well, they don't have a problem when they have a fire in Grantsville and Twillis show up to go help their citizens either.
Yeah,
it runs both directions.
Yes,
to your point, we just need to be
ahead. We just need to be ahead of it. I read in here that it's that they'll attack us. I want to be.
Right.
I want to be ahead of it. Before I don't want to. I don't want to respond.
So
I want to.
In the discussion, there's three. This is just for them. There's three things to think about. Whether we, what if they say no? What if Unified comes in? How do we negotiate? A partial solution. We have. I've presented for you items to think about if they say no or if they want to change the contract. They haven't said no yet.
Correct.
This time.
We haven't had given them a chance yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't presented them.
Okay, so, let's... We could stay and talk about this for hours. So
I've been working on it for years now.
So let's move on to the discussion of Grantsville Fire Service expansion.
Once again, this comes back into expansion or contractual services. The recent announcement from the Supreme Court says that Six Mile Ranch will be incorporated into Grantsville. That takes out a significant amount of our district. So I see the future there. Parachute Lane, 179.
But it's not the portion out on Stansbury Island. It's just this portion over here.
Yes,
correct?
Of course. Yes.
Okay.
It
takes Stansbury.
It almost goes to the grist mill. So it's significant, but it would take, like I said, Parachute and 179. So what that would be Grantsville gets paged, and we get paged at the same time, and they just let us handle it. Grantsville is having a significant problem manning their stations, manning their trucks, putting people on a response for a variety of reasons. So what I want us all to be prepared for is for me to talk to the fire chief and say, at some point in time, why don't we come together and Grantsville becomes North Twillis Fire? So I'm just throwing that out there as a contractual, just like we UFA does. And that's what this is part of. If we get the county to agree to this, if we see that coming or if we see that capability, then us being able to do the same thing with Grantsville, that paves the way. Doing it with
Grantsville.
I know.
Try and see.
This is just amusing.
Well, no, you've got 130 years of tradition over there. So.
I know. And I have, Dan is there in our audience, and so he knows. And so that's a significant jump. So it's something that you all have to be comfortable with for me to go out and talk to their chief about that.
Years ago, we tried the Clark County model. Vegas, North Vegas, Henderson, everybody together. We couldn't get the egos to mesh. Years later, they tried it out south, Vernon, Tara, Stockton. You couldn't get the egos to mesh. Maybe like Unified, scale in economy might start calming a few people down.
Well, when you look at this too, Grantsville is growing rapidly. They just approved 7,000 homes there. They are short three stations, and they just cut the fire budget by 20%.
No, they cut it?
Yeah, they cut it by 20%. So that's something to consider is quality of service too. I mean, because if we lose that parachute lane in 179, and we're waiting for a volunteer response, by the time we get volunteers to that station, get people en route, that traffic is already backed up. They're going to have a slow response. And if it's an extrication, I mean, so when you really kind of think about it from the perspective of serving the community, I think that you can have some good data to present to you.
Again, we're already living that nightmare with the reservoir, the Mormon Trail. We have to go through town to go up. You know, one time we adjusted our medical routes, and then Grantsville Fire decided they were no longer going to run medical, which hurt us. It hurt us greatly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's how much time of your golden hour, you guys?
Correct.
You can't go racing through town. So.
How about as busy as it's getting?
Yep.
We're going to have more lights getting put installed, and it's getting crazy.
Well, try to go west in the morning.
Yep. Currently, right now, with Grantsville, if they just let us take it, do we bill them for anything or collect anything from
them? No, it's all mutual aid.
Yeah, all mutual.
Pure mutual aid right now.
Okay.
And so there's, these are discussions about economies of scale that say, we could probably put people like staffed fire station, in Grantsville in 3 months.
Yeah, we could bring some of those guys on with us. You guys all get along well with them. We've, got that reestablished with those people.
We have a bunch of them on our staff already.
What's that?
We have a bunch of them on our staff already.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it's that far of a stretch now. Other than Dan. But other than that, you guys, anything we try. What's the worst thing I can tell us? You guys know, right?
It's always no until you ask.
Yeah, you don't get anything until you ask.
So. I will. Okay. I would like to have your permission to approach the Grantsville Fire Chief.
Yeah, absolutely.
The action item for tonight is just for you to vote an official approval.
Okay.
Resolution tonight.
Perfect.
Public comment.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Sorry. Since it's next on the list.
I will just say real quick on the Grantsville thing. I think, as it's growing, a lot of that city council just got a bunch of new members in, and a couple of them are pretty decent. And I think if you were to present the data on response time and stuff like that, I think you really could get some good headway with the council. The new city manager, I'm not sure which way he would go on that right now. We still have some of the old timers that are kind of still whispering in their ears, if you will. But I think with the growth and everything else like that, they'd be really foolish not to at least consider it. So I definitely would like us to see them move forward with that. I live in Grantsville, so it scares me anytime I have an accident or something like that midday of significant consequence, because who's coming?
Dan, are you still a member of the fire department over there?
Yeah.
You still in good standing?
Yeah, not this year. I've been in too many wildland deployments.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that goes a long ways for us.
Yeah. And we got Bradaloo and Easton Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three of us out there right now. They're still involved. I don't know where they sit on this, but, like I said, the tradition is one thing, but when you really break it down and look at the growth, I think that you could get a lot of the people of the community, with PR bulletin, if you will, to get that to vote in our favor.
Well, we'd all have the same training again. We'd all have the same equipment again. There'd be no jealousies there. We could have those guys come man and fill. You've got a bunch of young bucks over there that want to be full-time firefighters. I think that'd really work out well for us.
I do too. I definitely think it's a great approach and give a shot. Like you said, it's always no time to say yes.
And if we get out in front of it, there's not going to be, we're not erasing their area.
No.
We're not erasing
them
in 30 years. If anything, we're embracing.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay, next is the approval of the NTFD administration to pursue discussions with the Grantsville City regarding expansion of fire services.
Well, let me read it off your phone and I'll...
Yeah.
Well, you can just, I think we're not doing a resolution, so you can just make a motion that we...
I make a motion that we approve what...
As read.
Said.
Yep, approve the administration to pursue discussions.
I'll
Yep.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Scott.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Mark. Any opposed? Okay.
Not sure if that was an I.
It was not a nay.
It was a nay.
Okay, so we do need a closed session.
We need a motion and a vote to go into a closed session, and then we can adjourn the open.
Okay.
A motion that we close the December 2nd public meeting, and we go into a closed session to discuss
character, professional competence, or physical
or mental health of an individual.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.